ABC News, I'm Andy Field. Police say the school shooter killed by Nashville police today was carrying maps of the classroom and managed to enter despite locked doors. Shooter killed 3 9-year-old children and 3 adults in their 60s. Nashville Chief of Police John Drake.
They did have protocol. To my understanding, we had, unfortunately, 3 kids that were tragically hurt. It could have been far worse.
The private Christian school is pre-K through 6th grade. Police say the shooter was 28-year-old Audrey Hale.
She does identify as transgender.
No injuries after a Union Pacific freight train derailed in California's Mojave National Preserve. Firefighters say 55 rail cars and 2 locomotives went off the tracks. Company saying the train spilled iron ore and there was no hazardous material. Still determining what knocked that train off its tracks. This is ABC News. In France, ongoing protests over the government's plan to reform pensions.
Demonstrators blocking all entrances to the Louvre Museum on Monday as they continue to protest French President Emmanuel Macron's plan to raise the minimum retirement age from 62 to 64. Museum workers were among those barring tourists from seeing the likes of the Mona Lisa. Another nationwide day of strikes and protests will be held on Tuesday. So far, Macron has stood firm, showing no indication he's likely to backtrack on pension reform. Inez de la Quatera, ABC News, Paris.
Officials in West Reading, Pennsylvania say they've completed rescue and recovery after Friday's Palmer Chocolate Factory explosion. West Reading Police Chief Wayne Holbin on the survivors and victims' families.
7 individuals died, several were injured, and some community members were left homeless due to the explosion.
They're still determining what caused that explosion. Andy Field, ABC News.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Madnair. Here's what you need to know. First graders at Waukesha's Higher Elementary School won't be singing the Miley Cyrus-Dolly Parton duet Rainbow Land at the spring concert. Fox 6 reporting Waukesha School District Superintendent Jim Siebert confirmed the song was dropped from the list because of a specific school board policy saying, quote, it was determined that Rainbow Land could be perceived as controversial, unquote. The concert is in May. An investigation into alleged racism at a March 3rd playoff game between Beloit Memorial and Muskego High School is over. Muskego School Superintendent Dr. Kelly Thompson out with a statement last week saying the investigation didn't find enough evidence to prove racism came from the Muskego High School student section but acknowledged unsportsmanlike behaviors. Beloit basketball players took photos and videos of swastikas and the N-word written in dust at the tops of lockers, but the district says it couldn't identify who made them or if they were targeting the Beloit players. I'm Jane Madnair. This is Civic Media News.
Dear hero, whoever you are, you save lives. I live with sickle cell and the pain and the issues that come along with sickle cell every day. I've had lots and lots of blood transfusions over my lifetime, probably in the hundreds. Blood helps me to be able to live.
My final tour was in Afghanistan in 2008. I was hit June 3rd. The next thing I remember, I woke up in Germany. The doctor came in and said, we're going to amputate your leg. I had to get a lot of blood transfusion to stay alive.
Because of you, I'm allowed to see my son grow up.
Because of you, I got a second chance at life.
Giving equals living. Give blood. Replenish the supply. Make an appointment to give today by visiting hhs.gov/giveblood. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Kids, they're just different than us. They have no inhibitions, consider silverware optional, and can find fun anywhere. And when kids get really sick, they're different than us too. Until now, children diagnosed with blood cancer have been treated like many adults. Not anymore. The Leukemia and Lymphoma Society proudly introduces the Dare to Dream Project, transforming treatment and care through advocacy, education, and the largest global clinical trial for kids with blood cancer. For the first time, a specific treatment can be matched to a specific type of cancer in a specific child. it'll be the biggest medical advancement for little patients in history. Dare to dream with us. Support the Dare to Dream Project and all the work that the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society does at LLS.org.
Kids across America are going to school hungry. Millions of kids every day. Hungry kids get sick more often and can struggle in school. It can be harder for them to focus and learn. But one simple thing can help change all of this for a hungry child in America. Good healthy food and the energy it brings. With help from caring people across America, No Kid Hungry is providing healthy meals and hope to hungry kids so they can build better futures.
We want to ensure that all of our kids have healthy meals every day.
Thank you.
Thank you for helping feed our kids.
To learn more about ending child hunger in America, go to helpnokidhungry.org today.
Good evening, folks. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. Welcome to your Paul Revere Show. We are here every Monday night at 7 o'clock on WAUK 540 AM and 101 FM right here in downtown Waukesha. It is a beautiful spring night, and we are a week away from the biggest election in maybe Wisconsin's last 50 years. I am honored to have with me as a guest tonight the candidate for the Wisconsin Supreme Court, Judge Janet Protasiewicz. Welcome, Judge.
Well, I am delighted to be here with you this evening, Mark. I just was spending some time. I'm in Eau Claire right now. Was spending some time with Dana and with Beverly and with Artie. And Artie's quite a character.
And for my listeners, those are my partners up in Eau Claire. So welcome, Judge. So you've been traveling all over the state talking about why you want to run and why you want to be the next justice of the Wisconsin Supreme Court. So why?
To get away from all the extremism and bring normal back to Wisconsin and back to our Supreme Court, to get away from the uber partisanship, to bring change, to bring common sense, to bring independence. I mean, it has been a long journey. We've been doing this for a year, and quite frankly, in my opinion, our democracy is utterly on the line, depending on what happens on April 4th.
You know, you've been traveling all over the state and talking to many, many, many people. What do you hear from the voters? What's their concern?
First of all, I would say that the voters are really excited. There are large crowds wherever we go. And, you know, I'm very cognizant of the fact that this is not a Milwaukee County, Dane County race. And that's a message that I really try to get out to people when I travel around the state. That they need a justice who is here for everybody. And that's why we are traveling absolutely everywhere. People have concerns about a number of specific issues. People are concerned about our very gerrymandered maps in the state of Wisconsin. People are concerned by our 1849 abortion ban. People are extraordinarily worried about what will happen in the event the 2024 presidential election results end up in our Supreme Court. And then an overarching theme that I hear is that people want a Supreme Court that's fair and independent. They don't want to feel like a thumb is on the scale. They want to feel as though everybody has a fair shot when they go into the courtroom and that determinations are not preordained.
You know, one thing I've been hearing from folks, and I think this is maybe a good place to start to dig into some of these issues a little bit more. You know, your opponent never sat as a circuit court judge, never was a prosecutor, so never personally handled a criminal case at the county level. What do you think that your experience brings to that, that your opponent just is clueless about?
Well, he's really clueless about it. And, you know, I'm here in Eau Claire today, and people were showing me flyers about misleading messaging that he is providing to the voters in this area, indicating that he doesn't believe that I believe in community safety. I have sentenced on criminal cases, not hundreds of people, but thousands of people. He has sentenced nobody ever. You know, he hasn't had to make those tough decisions of, does somebody need to be removed from the community because the community needs to be safe and the serious nature of the offense? Or does this person get a second chance? Or does this person get a diversion? Or do they get placed in supervision? Or do they get a deferred prosecution agreement? Or do they go to a specialty court, like a veterans court or a drug treatment court? You know, he's never had to make those calls. So I think it's really easy to, you know, cherry pick a number of cases, not tell the whole story, and twist your stories, you know, to kind of meet the message that you are trying to sell to the voters of the state.
You know, along those lines, how many years were you a prosecutor before you actually went on the bench as a judge?
More than a quarter of a century, and it's hard to believe because it feels like I started yesterday. But 26 years in the district attorney's office in Milwaukee County, prosecuting all kinds of cases, you know, everything from very routine matters like retail thefts and disorderly conducts, but all the way to, you know, homicides, serious, violent felonies. Worked at children's court, worked very hard to try to, you know, keep families together. And when you can't keep a family together, trying to figure out what the best pathway to permanency is for a family, whether termination of parental rights and adoption is the way to go, whether a guardianship replacing a child with a family member is the way to go. You know, really hard calls that you make in a courtroom every day. And, you know, Mark, I know you're a trial lawyer and an exceptionally good trial lawyer. You know what it's like when you are dealing with, you know, you're dealing with a jury. You know, I've dealt with juries that are scared to walk to their cars after they've rendered, you know, a guilty verdict. I've seen people on the stand that are just ravaged and shredded by having to relive something that happened to them. I've seen defendants who want a second chance. I've seen their families. You know, you just see so much of our humanity when you are in those courts all day, every day.
And folks, the opponent has never prosecuted a single case and has not sentenced anyone. So who do you want to trust when it comes to reviewing those decisions on appeal? Someone with Judge Janet Protasiewicz's depth, experience, insight, or someone that is clueless and just running a lot of rhetoric? And I've seen some of those nasty ads. You know what? How does that issue impact people across the state? You know, you've been out there pounding the doors.
Well, I think that, you know, the community safety issue impacts everybody across the, you know, across every political spectrum. But I think the misleading ads, you know, really bother people. You know, somebody brought to an event in Eau Claire a pile of these ads that he received. And he said, kind of tongue-in-cheek to me, it's one of these flyers had three particular cases on it, I assume you've sentenced more than three people in your entire career. And I said, I have. I think people understand that the ads are worse than misleading, quite frankly. I think people understand that. And, you know, we're working hard to respond in kind, you know, with radio ads that tell the real story, with television that tells the real story.
You mentioned that you thought people were really concerned on whether you could be, or, you know, they're looking for a justice that can be fair and impartial, or and a justice that cares about the voter. How is that playing out?
It's playing out really well. I mean, I'm telling you that I'm going all over the state, and we have packed venues wherever we go. You know, I'm in Eau Claire right now. I'm at a brewery. We had an event at the third floor. And the host said to me, you know, we expected 60 or 70 people. We had well over 100. We had an event in Milwaukee shortly before the primary, a fundraiser, and there is no candidate who ever wants to turn people away at a fundraiser, ever. And we had to turn people away because there wasn't room in a venue that was very large and there wasn't parking. And one of my campaign people was on a microphone saying, this event is oversubscribed. It's oversubscribed. So if you've had enough time here, you can leave so we can let some other people in. I mean, you don't see anything like that. And I would say that I think people are so deeply concerned about the issues. People are so deeply concerned about the state of the Supreme Court that we're having, you know, such enthusiastic groups of people wherever we go. You know, we were in Hudson a few weeks ago, and we were in Ashland, and we were in Superior. And, you know, I think I've been saying to people, I've been very, very careful to make sure people know we're not a Milwaukee County, Dane County race. This is a statewide race, and so we're going all over the state. I tell people today, I said, I used to think the drive from Milwaukee to Eau Claire was kind of long. Now I don't think it's long anymore. I do it enough. It's not a long ride. Get in the car, and we just go. And, you know, the opportunity to meet so many interesting people and see the state has truly, truly been the honor of a lifetime. But wherever we go, any corner of the state, people are so deeply concerned about the issues.
One of the issues you mentioned was this notion of maps and fair maps. And, you know, I think sometimes people forget that there was a federal court that had ruled that the maps in Wisconsin were actually unconstitutional, that it was so rigged and they were so unfair that it was unconstitutional. And then, as we all know, the U.S. Supreme Court and Justice Roberts punted on the issue and said, hey, it's not unconstitutional under the federal constitution. We're going to let states decide. And we're going to spend more time on this on the other side of the break. But just before we get there, this idea of the maps and being unfair, what are you hearing from people on that issue around the state?
I'm hearing from people about it virtually every day. And it's interesting because people are kind of pragmatic. They'll say to me, you know what, we get it. The party in power is probably going to have maps that are a little more fair than the other party. But they say this kind of extreme gerrymandering, I mean, like, it is literally off the charts what is going on in the state of Wisconsin. Literally off the charts. And, you know, we're the poster child for how to draw the most extreme maps, you know, really kind of known in our history. Duke University, I think, even did articles about it.
Folks, this is Attorney Mark Thompson. I am here with Judge Janet Protasiewicz. We are talking about the big election happening on April 4th. We'll be back with more with Judge Janet on the other side of the break. Make sure you are here.
Earn, play, and win at Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa. Rewards Club members can earn up to $155 rewards play and $5 to use at Whitetail Crossing or to grab a bite to eat at the Swiftwater Lounge. Guests may start earning points on your Rewards Club card 7 a.m. through 10 a.m. and 9 p.m. till midnight every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. For complete contest rules, see the Rewards Club booth at Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa. Become an off-road warrior with Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa. Now until March 25th, guests can earn entries for one of the grand prize drawings on February 25th, March 11th, and March 25th. All you need to do is earn 25 points to receive $10 rewards play and an entry up to four times a day. One grand prize winner will win a gift certificate to Power Pack Sports and Equipment in Marshfield for a Polaris ATV or UTV, with six consolation winners being drawn to win a scooter cooler or up to $500 cash. For complete contest rules and to see the rides in person, visit the Rewards Club booth. Must be 21 or older to participate and enter the casino floor. Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, your place to play.
Hello? I'm a Marine.
No matter how you served.
My buddies from the Army are all gone now. I'm really alone.
No matter what you're going through.
I keep getting calls about the bills, and I'm trying to get a job. I feel so stuck.
We are here for you. If you or a veteran in your life is experiencing thoughts of suicide, dial 988, then press 1 to reach the Veterans Crisis Line.
Here's your updated forecast. Lows around 23 tonight under mainly cloudy skies. Winds out of the south around 5 miles an hour. Daytime highs approaching 41 tomorrow. A mix of clouds and sun. Chance for snow tomorrow night, 23, overcast. Low 30s Wednesday with a chance for snow. Chance for mixed precipitation on Thursday. Highs in the mid-40s. About an inch of snow tomorrow night with another dusting Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 41.
A fresh approach to finding common ground in the Fox Valley. This is Civic Media. Civic Media.
Waukesha's only news talk station.
Folks, we are back here at your Paul Revere Show. This is attorney Mark Thompson. We are here every Monday night, WAUK, 540 AM, 101 FM. It is a beautiful spring night here in Waukesha, and I am delighted to let you all know that Judge Janet Protasiewicz, a candidate for the Wisconsin Supreme Court, is with us here. She is busy. She's in Eau Claire right now, just got done meeting with people, and she was kind enough to share some time with us tonight. So we were talking about maps and fairness and this idea that, touch base at the federal court had held our maps unconstitutional. There has been some criticisms, however, of you when you're talking about your value about fairness in the maps. How does that play out, and how do you address that question?
So what I like to tell people is that I think it's important that the electorate knows what the values are of the candidate that they're going to be electing to such a high office. Everybody has values. So why hide behind your values? Let's let people know what our values are. And I've been very clear that in regard to our maps, I've gone so far as to say our maps are rigged. I've been telling people, we deserve, the people of this state deserve to have fair maps and deserve to live in a state where their vote actually counts. And I'll contrast that to my opponent. For years, he has been a proponent of the gerrymandering and unfair maps. And Mark, I know you know the history better than probably most people, given, the work that you do. But we take a look at what was called Act 43, more than a decade ago, which really started us down the road to these extraordinarily gerrymandered maps. And my opponent was one of the people who was advising the Republican Party about those maps and about how to have such gerrymandered maps. And then we fast forward to 2020, our maps are even more gerrymandered. And then we fast forward to, our presidential election of 2020. And I think absolutely everybody knows that we had a fair, free election in the state of Wisconsin, and that the state of Wisconsin's electoral votes validly went to President Biden. I don't think it can be underscored enough that my opponent was actually advising the Republican Party about the fake elector scheme, that was taking place in the state of Wisconsin. This isn't somebody who cares about our democracy. I tell people this isn't somebody who's a conservative. This is an extremist. He is a dangerous, dangerous extremist.
Thank you for emphasizing that point. And let me just say this once more. A federal court and a Republican judge and a Democratic appointed judge found our maps unconstitutional and absolutely rigged. And that your opponent backs that, supports that, and somehow thinks that's fair is just, it is unbelievable. Unbelievable.
It is truly unbelievable.
Yeah, let's touch on another point that I think he's really extremist on. We have this 1849 law on abortions in place, a law that was passed when virtually, right, only men voted on it. No women were even at the table, much less to talk about it. And here we are post Roe, you know, I mean, 50-year-old women have only known that they've had their right, a constitutional right at the federal level for the reproductive decisions. How is that issue playing out around the state? What are you seeing on that?
Well, people are very concerned, and they're concerned for a number of reasons. And let me be clear. First of all, my value is that women should have a right to make their own reproductive health care decisions, period. That being said, you know, I know and I can tell you with 100% certainty, not a doubt in my mind, that if my opponent is elected, that 1849 ban is going to stay on the books. That's a really serious issue for women and families confronting whether or not they need to make a reproductive health care decision. But it's more than just that. You know, I've had an event with a number of OBGYNs, and they said to me, we don't know how much longer we want to practice medicine in the state of Wisconsin. And nurses tell me, we don't know how much longer we want to be practicing in the state of Wisconsin. And one person actually said to me, I think it's going to hurt us across the board and hurt us with our businesses as well. One young family told me they're from Wisconsin. They're planning to move back to Wisconsin, but they're not doing that as long as that 1849 law is on the books. They said, we want to start a family. And if we have a healthcare decision that we need to make, we want to be able to make that decision. So, you know, I think we have to look at not just the, you know, issue that a woman has about making her own reproductive healthcare choices, but we have to look at physician and nurse attrition. We have to look at whether or not this is going to thwart our state's growth, you know, across the board.
You know, the emphasis of this show is always moving Wisconsin forward, right? That's our motto. We want to
go. It's a good motto.
Yeah, we want to go forward. How can we go forward if we can't even get young people to come to the state because they're scared virtually to death that they may not have the right choice of their own doctor and doctors fleeing the states? 10 seconds. What's your goodbye to voters?
Please vote by April 4th. It is critical. Everything you care about is on the line. Please make sure you vote.
And let me add one thing. Folks, please vote for Judge Janet Protasiewicz. April 4th, 2023. Your life, your future depends on it. Thank you, Judge Janet. Happy trails.
Thank you, Mark. Delighted.
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. Police say the school shooter killed by Nashville police today was carrying maps of the classroom and managed to enter despite locked doors. Shooter killed 3 9-year-old children and 3 adults in their 60s. Nashville Chief of Police John Drake.
They did have protocol. To my understanding, we had, unfortunately, 3 kids that were tragically hurt. It could have been far, far worse.
The private Christian school is pre-K through 6th grade. Police say the shooter was 28-year-old Audrey Hale.
She does identify as transgender.
No injuries after a Union Pacific freight train derailed in California's Mojave National Preserve. Firefighters say 55 rail cars and two locomotives went off the tracks. Company saying the train spilled iron ore and there was no hazardous material. Still determining what knocked that train off its tracks. This is ABC News.
Unthawed or thawed? These are the questions the Krebscast will cover every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Can you just pull them brats out of the freezer? That'd be fantastic.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Lawmakers appear more united about taking action against the owners of the TikTok social media app. Wisconsin Congressman Mike Gallagher tells ABC's This Week that the CEO's testimony last week did nothing to quell privacy concerns. The special election for Wisconsin's 8th Senate seat will have statewide implications. A Republican Senate supermajority could launch impeachment proceedings against Democrats from Governor Evers to Milwaukee County DA John Chisholm.
I've already called for his resignation. The judges, the circuit court judges, I think have failed the community by releasing or not having a high enough bail on these criminals.
Republican Dan Knoedl is running against Democrat Jody Habersh-Sinkin. Both candidates were on Upfront yesterday. In sports, the Bucks are at Detroit tonight. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Dear hero, whoever you are, you save lives. I live with sickle cell and the pain and the issues that come along with sickle cell every day. I've had lots and lots of blood transfusions over my lifetime, probably in the hundreds. Blood helps me to be able to live.
My final tour was in Afghanistan in 2008. I was hit June 3rd. The next thing I remember, I woke up in Germany. The doctor came in and said, "We're going to amputate your leg." I had to get a lot of blood transfusion to stay alive.
Because of you, I'm allowed to see my son grow up.
Because of you, I got a second chance at life.
Giving equals living. Give blood. Replenish the supply. Make an appointment to give today by visiting hhs.gov/giveblood. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Welcome back. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere show. This is WAUK 540 AM 101 FM. We spent the last half hour talking about the April 4th, 2023 election. And we were here with candidate Judge Janet Protasiewicz and what was important statewide. I am honored to have on this for the next half hour with me, Judge Frederick Stramp, judge here in Waukesha County, running to retain his job. Welcome, Judge Stramp.
Thank you, Mark. I'm happy to be here.
You know, I have to say this. I was a fellow member, I think, in ABOTA, which is the American Board of Trial Advocates.
Oh, I still.
And you still are.
I still am, yes.
Okay, and I want to say this because it's, I met Judge Stramp before he was a judge when he did primarily defense work. And we are an organization. I'm also privileged and honored to be a member of the American Board of Trial Advocates. But it's a group of lawyers from around the state made up of plaintiff's lawyers and civil defense lawyers to really talk about what's the best way to try a case and how do you really have fairness in the courtroom. And when my friend and associate was appointed to the bench here in Waukesha, I said, wow, Waukesha is so lucky to have such a person for a judge. So why did you want to become a judge?
I wanted to come back and serve my community. As you know, Mark, when I was young, I was in the military, spent the first 4 years of my adult life as an infantry officer, and had always missed that feeling of service and working for the greater good. And after 25 years doing civil litigation, I felt like I'd developed the skills I needed and the familiarity with how a courtroom's supposed to operate that I could give back to the community by asking to be a judge in this community. And I've been pleased with it every day that I've been feeling that satisfaction of serving the community.
Now, you have, in your capacity, been you're assigned criminal cases primarily right now, right?
Yes.
So what have you learned in terms of your experience as a judge being involved in the trials of criminal cases?
Yes. What I've learned is that there's a lot more going on and a lot more important decisions being made to protect our community than just the sentencing or even the trial of criminal defendants. Obviously, that's a very important thing. That's a big thing that has a significant effect. But every day, I'm also doing things like reviewing motions relating to bail and whether or not the conditions of bail should be altered, or evaluating motions on evidence of was a search properly conducted, should there have been a different procedure taken, or was there probable cause. And all of those decisions, you know, have significant effects on where the cases go, on the lives of the defendants, but also on the lives of the victims, the victims' families, and then the families of the defendants. So it's been enlightening to me to see how all-encompassing those decisions are and how important they are to a large swath of our community.
Now, and just before we get more into why you want to stay as a judge, you know, you had mentioned you were in the service in the Army, but you went to West Point.
I did, yes.
So this is a big deal, right? Not everybody gets to West Point. So how did that shape you as a person and your notion of service?
I would say two big ways that it molded me, for lack of a better term. The number one is just it exposed me to such a wide variety of people from around our country and really high quality people. And everyone had different backgrounds coming from, you know, all around the country. But it was enlightening and invigorating to see everyone motivated by similar principles and similar goals. And that was the second thing is, you know, a huge part of West Point, you know, I got the classical education with, you know, everything from electrical engineering to philosophy. But even more so than that is there's a moral and an ethical vision on everything you do. You know, the motto of West Point is a cadet will not lie, cheat, or steal, nor tolerate those who do. And that is just a life motto. That's the mission of the military academy, is to develop leaders of character for a lifetime of service to the country. And that's what I'm trying to do as a judge, is just continue that lifetime of service.
You know, you were also involved, just so folks know, and, you know, check out Judge Stramp's webpage, but you were involved in high school football, right? As a ref.
Yes.
I mean, you're licensed, right, with the WIAA?
Ever since law school, I've been licensed as a football official. I have been to almost every high school in Waukesha County and most of the high schools in southeastern Wisconsin. Every Friday night in the fall, I'm out there. Just enjoy being out with the students. The student athletes are just, it's just good to see the, everyone at their best doing that type of activity. You know, I love football. It was a big part of my childhood growing up, a big part of my high school experience, and having the opportunity to continue to be part of that and to give students now the same opportunities that I had is just something I enjoy. And it, you know, just develops those same types of skills and trying to communicate those same types of things to the students of, you know, work hard and follow the rules and things will pay off for you.
I gotta just throw this in too. I noticed that you got a photo of you out there deer hunting. So yeah, I deer hunt up in Washburn County. So where do you hunt?
I grew up in Wausau and I hunt up in Lincoln County. My dad owns 80 acres up there that we've been hunting on since I was in the Army. He got the land while I was in the Army, so we've been up there for 25 years.
I had to throw that in there with the kids and coaching. You know, you're as the officiant, not coaching, as the referee. As the referee, you know, you're the neutral decider, right? What's your judicial philosophy when it comes to this? Because, you know, your opponent is a politician and you're not a politician. Okay.
Right.
So, we're talking about a very, very important race here, right here in Waukesha, on the bench, and why should the listeners vote for you as opposed to the politician?
Well, I can't say this enough, but I am not a politician. I'm a judge, and before that, I was a lawyer, and I'm committed to following the law and making sure that the law is applied evenly to everyone. Everyone gets treated fairly. Everyone gets treated the same way. And it's critical to our system. And one of the reasons why I wanted to run for, why I'm running for judge and why I sought this position is, you know, the rule of law only works if we've got impartial judges who are enforcing the laws evenly for everyone without any preconceived agenda, without any goals or any plan to have one outcome or the other. You know, that's exactly what I do when I'm officiating football. The rules are there. I apply them evenly. I treat everyone with respect in the courtroom. And that's why I do this. And that's why why people should want me to be their judge, because I don't have any preconceived agenda. I know how courtrooms work. And I'm just there to enforce the law and make sure that the process is fair for everyone.
You know, in the day-to-day campaign, what are you hearing from people on the race? You know, what are they saying? What are they saying to Judge Stramp?
What people are saying to me is that they're very concerned about circuit courts becoming political. I know you just talked to Judge Protasiewicz about the Supreme Court race, and that's a court that has to deal with these types of major issues. There, it's a policy court. But no one who I'm talking to wants the Waukesha County Circuit Court to be a policy court. They want it to be a court that is run efficiently, that's run fairly, and that's following the law in order to protect the community and make sure that everyone knows that there's not a preconceived agenda. There's just an effort to enforce the law fairly and protect the community.
So in your capacity as a judge, how do you play that out? What's your philosophy of judging?
So my philosophy for judging is just to use the same things that I always liked when I was a lawyer. Like I am a lawyer's judge. And by that, what I mean is I'm not trying to railroad people or to get things done for some thing that I want, whether it's a procedural thing or just a timing thing or something. I want to give all the lawyers a chance to present their case, to spell out the law. My role is to get that information. If I have to, then do whatever research or analysis I need to do, and then come out and make a decision based on what the law requires. So I'm not trying to to replace the lawyers. I'm trying to just give the lawyers an opportunity. You know, it's an adversary system, so as you and I both know. So you got to give both sides a chance to express their opinions, get their views heard, and then I sort through that and do what the facts and the law require.
In your capacity, have you had the opportunity now to instruct juries?
I have. I've had a couple jury trials already.
And tell me, how has that experience been different?
It has been a little, I would say, not as different as I thought it would be. Other than it's a lot easier to be the judge as opposed to the lawyer, where all you have to do is listen to the questions as opposed to ask them. But as far as instructing jurors, everything about my experience as a lawyer has made that an easier transition. Like, I can't imagine someone trying to instruct a jury or run a jury trial without having been a lawyer litigating jury trials. You know, my first trial was allegations of possession of child pornography. So the biggest task was just selecting a juror. I mean, that topic brings up, as you know, lots of sensitive issues a lot of different ways. So had to be very sensitive and be very careful to make sure that we got a fair jury without inundating the jurors or, you know, causing emotional problems or bringing up things from them that would be insensitive or just improper. So everything I've done as a lawyer gave me the skills to do that, because I've had to ask difficult questions to juries and to sort out people who might have biases or be improper, you know, not be a good fit to be a juror in that case. And so because I have that experience, I've been able to instruct juries as a lawyer or as a judge now.
And let me just throw this out here. In terms of sentencing, have you been involved in sentencing now?
I am sentencing people almost, I would say, multiple times a day.
So I want to come back on the other side of the break and get into just in terms of sentencing, what does that mean? What's involved? What are the issues? But a question here, just before the break, and folks, this is Attorney Mark Thompson. I'm here with Judge Frederick Stramp, who is running for the Waukesha County Circuit Court position April 4th, very crucial. But just briefly, what is, you think, the key issue coming up for the next 4 years as a judge?
It's going to be the bail amendment and just continuing to keep the community safe and make sure the law is applied evenly to everyone.
Folks, this is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. We will be back after the break with more from Judge Frederick Stramp on justice, fair justice in Waukesha County, and the election on April 4, 2023.
Kids, they're just different than us. They have no inhibitions, consider silverware optional, and can find fun anywhere. And when kids get really sick, they're different than us too. Until now, children diagnosed with blood cancer have been treated like many adults. Not anymore. The Leukemia and Lymphoma Society proudly introduces the Dare to Dream Project, transforming treatment and care through advocacy, education, and the largest global clinical trial for kids with blood cancer. For the first time, a specific treatment can be matched to a specific type of cancer in a specific child. It'll be the biggest medical advancement for little patients in history. Dare to dream with us. Support the Dare to Dream Project and all the work that the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society does at lls.org.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Lows around 23 tonight under mainly cloudy skies. Winds out of the south around 5 miles an hour. Daytime highs approaching 41 tomorrow. A mix of clouds and sun. Chance for snow tomorrow night, 23, overcast. Low 30s Wednesday with a chance for snow. Chance for mixed precipitation on Thursday. Highs in the mid-40s. About an inch of snow tomorrow night with another dusting Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 41.
Keeping the Fox Valley connected, informed, and entertained. This is Civic Media.
UKRadio.com.
Welcome back. This is your Paul Revere Show. This is attorney Mark Thompson. This is the Shaw, WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM. And folks, on this beautiful spring night, 1 week away from Election Day, I am have the honor and privilege of having Judge Frederick Stramp on with me tonight. He is the current judge here in Waukesha County, running to retain his seat. And he has, his opponent is a politician. And what's a key issue that you see is really different between you and your opponent?
I think the biggest difference is just experience. Like my opponent went into the legislature right out of law school. Literally, he graduated in May and got elected in November. He has never practiced law full-time for any significant period of time. So because of that, if you look at his court records, he's only got one case. As far as I can tell, there's no jury trials that he's ever conducted. And I, you know, we were talking before about the first jury trial that I've conducted as a judge. You know, I've tried dozens of trials in my career as a lawyer. I at least know generally who goes first and where people sit and what table they go to. And I know the rules of evidence, and I've used the rules of evidence. And there's just a million things in a trial that you can't learn by trying to preside over it. It just defies logic. And that's the biggest difference, is I know how to try a case. I know how to run a courtroom. And my opponent doesn't know either one of those things.
You know, I know you didn't want to get into the politics of this, but I've noticed that your opponent has some pretty, pretty extreme conservative backers, has been out there and a believer in the election deniers. How is that playing out on the streets, door to door?
Well, you know, as I talk to people and they ask me about my opponent, you've just hit on the second thing I say. First off, I say, you know, experience matters in this job. And the second thing I say is it defies logic that a person who authored a letter to Vice President Pence on January 5th saying that there was widespread fraud in Wisconsin, hundreds of thousands of votes were improperly counted, and that the election results should not be tabulated, after the courts in Wisconsin had already addressed that issue and determined that that's not true. So someone who is writing a letter supporting the argument that ends up with an insurrection is just defying the law, the rule of law, now wants to be a judge. And I just can't understand that dichotomy. And when I talk to people about it, no one else can understand that either. Why someone who disrespects the rule of law now wants to be a judge or thinks they're qualified to be a judge.
Yeah, let me, as a lawyer and an officer of the court, you know, when you're out there, you have to speak the truth, right? And we had a federal judge, Judge Ludwig, you know, appointed by President Trump. When faced with the case on the election and saying, you know, take it away from the people, said, how can you do that, right? I mean, you know, I may have been appointed by the president, but the people voted in Wisconsin, And they voted clearly for President Biden, and, you know, Trump lost in 2020.
Right.
He won in 2016, but he lost in 2020. And, you know, the federal judge said, look, this is it. You got to be fair. How is it that your opponent is still pushing that?
Yeah, I don't know how much he's
continuing
pushing. I mean, he's a politician, so he's certainly willing to make the arguments that he thinks works at one particular time. But everyone needs to be judged by the record. And, you know, there's no doubt that at a time when our country needed leaders to stand up and do the right thing and enforce the rule of law, he did just the opposite. And in my mind, as someone who's took their first oath to support and defend the Constitution at age 18 on the plane in West Point, that is unforgivable. If you take an oath to support and defend the Constitution, that is where your loyalty is. And you can't make that a sometimes choice based on political expediency.
I think that is going to be crucial, and thank you for that. I mean, Waukesha is a very, very important county in Wisconsin. You know, it continues to grow. It is a very purple county where we have a great diversity of politics.
Yeah.
And at the center of it, the courthouse, there has to be stability and a confirmation that we are going to follow the Constitution. So I very much appreciate that.
And I firmly believe that the vast majority of the residents of Waukesha County, whatever political way they might lean, want someone who's a judge who's going to enforce the Constitution, follow the rule of law, and do the right thing based on what the law requires, not make some decision based on political expediency.
Right. Or you're not the ref for a political party, right?
Exactly.
Right. I mean, I think people all over the country are getting to that point. You know, it's enough is enough. We have a minute left.
Okay.
What do you want to say to the listeners? And why should these listeners vote for Judge Frederick Strapp?
Because as a circuit court judge, I'm dealing with important issues affecting the lives of our community and the safety of our community. And experience matters. This is not a job for beginners. This is not a job that you learn as you're doing it. It's a job that you need to be prepared for. I'm the only candidate in this election who is a judge. I'm the only candidate who's qualified to be a judge. And because of that, I'm asking the voters of Waukesha County to vote for me on April 4th, Judge Fred Strapp.
Let me sort of emphasize a point. You know, when I, my practice, I'm a plaintiff's lawyer, so I would always see Fred on the other side. And, part of the beauty, and I don't know if a lot of people really understand this, but to have justice happen, you have to have mutual respect. And I've had profound mutual respect for now Judge Frederick Strapp, Fred Strapp. April 4th, 2023, vote for Judge Fred Strapp. Thank you much. We will see you next Monday, the night before the election. In the meantime, make sure you register, make sure you vote. And I'm going to say it one more time. Vote for Judge Frederick Strapp for Waukesha County Circuit Court Judge.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Saturday and Sunday at 1 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out.
And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC.